You wouldn't believe some of the crazy stuff that's going on in the federal government, and we're going to talk about a few of them next on today's program.
Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I would like mine with extra ketchup, please.
So, federal guidelines and Michelle Obama have determined that you can only have one thing of ketchup.
And that's how crazy things are getting.
Well, you know, the thing that gets to me is it wasn't that long ago before they decided ketchup packets were a vegetable, and now we can't have our vegetables?
Exactly. It's totally unhealthy.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to talk about that and a few other things. And by the way, I'm Robin. That's Clip. And we're hoping that we'll make it a threesome with you at 646-721-9887. That didn't come out right. Okay.
What was that number? Where did we get that number?
That number is, if you call right now, within the next 15 minutes, 646-721-9887. That number, once again, is 646-721-9887.
That's easy to remember. Just write it down and stick it on a refrigerator.
That's right. Or plop it wherever you want to that you can not damage anything. What happens when you call that number, by the way, is that it will come up on my board, and I will see it and go, hey, we have a phone call. And I will say, hey, Cliff, guess what? We have a phone call, and it's from area code so-and-so, and I will say, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so.
Except area code so-and-so is being very quiet right now.
It is being very quiet. And if you are one of the hundreds of people that do listen to us on the archive, thank you, and thank you for not bringing us live. But anyways, no, you can still participate with the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, or if you see something in the news, news article you'd like to forward on to us to talk about as well, we're always glad to receive those. We receive those periodically, and a lot of them are pretty good articles, some that we're not even aware of. In fact, as we were talking in our pre-show setup, this has, if it's hit the news, I haven't heard it on the major stations yet, but it's kind of the end of an era. And it's very sad, but this is more of the government bureaucracy that is killing this. And this is, I don't know if people are aware of it, but last Saturday is the last Saturday that on the networks you'll see Saturday morning cartoons.
That's what you told me, and that's fantastic. I mean, I thought the networks were making big bucks with Saturday morning cartoons, but I can see why not. They were told they could run the Saturday morning. In fact, they were told they had to run this Saturday morning cartoons, and then they were told they couldn't advertise it. They couldn't use kids' commercials on it. And if you can't run kids' commercials during kids' programming, what are you going to run? You're going to have to run other things, and the kids are not going to be interested in that, and so they're going to turn it off. But the thing is, you can't run adult commercials.
Yeah, you know, using the TV as a babysitter and having a commercial about something to do with watch Ted smile. Mommy, can I have what Ted has? And I'm referring to the Viagra commercials.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I didn't know Ted when he had Viagra.
He did. That's why he was smiling all day long, him and his... Anyways, without getting too graphic, but that was a commercial that was running up for a long time about Viagra.
I guess certain programs I don't or commercials I don't bother to watch. I don't watch commercials that often. I mean, I'm sitting there watching television, and Candy will ask me a question about what was in a commercial. I don't know. I'm sitting there watching it, but I have no idea what it's saying or why. I just don't pay any attention to what it's on.
Well, part of it is, well, like I say, you know, not geared towards kids, but part of the major reason for this is, as I mentioned in the onset, the federal government, again, because the FCC mandates.
And that's the thing we've got to stop, is the FCC mandates, period. This is a broadcast station. This is not something that we should be having that close a control over by the federal government. This is not something the government should be controlling at all. Well, there are certain things about the FCC that the government should control. Programming is not one of them. You know, when you can do it, and how time you can spend for it, and certain things that are important to the operation of a television station are possible to be controlled by the FCC. But programming is not one of those.
Right. I mean, I don't know if anybody remembers, because this has been quite a while ago, because of the violence on television.
We know you're old.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Not as old as you. but because of violence on television, that any acts of violence, you only allowed so many, and they had to be minor. Like even the FCC at one point said that violence on Saturday morning cartoons could not go any further than being tickled with a feather, and even that was questionable. And this is going...
That is pretty violent. I've been tickled with a feather.
You know, versus being dropped on your head by an anvil from a cliff, you know, but as if, you know, people can go around and do that all the time and as easily as they do it. And same thing, just like, you know, I grew up in the Yogi Bear, not the baseball player, era, and I have yet to have this uncontrollable urge to steal picnic baskets. Hey, boo, boo.
Okay. You really did, huh?
I really did. You know, I did not go out and steal picnic baskets. But anyways, this past Saturday, according to the Washington Post, the CW became the last broadcast station network to cut Saturday morning cartoons. The CW is replacing its Saturday morning cartoon programming called The Vortex with The Magnificent Morning. Woohoo! Hey, are you ready for this, Cliff? This almost makes me want to go out and renew my cable television subscription for this program. It is a five-hour block of non-animated TV geared towards teens and families.
Well, I will have to say one thing. I have never been a fan of animation, and I don't like animation. But I didn't notice that it was missing. I don't watch that much television on Saturday mornings. That's true. I'm busy looking up information and watching the computer. But I do watch one program on Saturday, but it has to do with cars.
Yeah.
And not animation.
Well, I kind of, I mean, cartoons, I love cartoons, to be honest with you. I'm also an anime artist, and so I love to draw them. But I get so tired of everything, whether it's cartoons or whether it's like the real-life comedy, like comedy shows or whatever, you know, like kids' programs. Some of them are pretty good, you know, like Animaniacs, which they took off because I was too violent and provocative. And, but they always have to, we have to teach a lesson because everybody's our friend.
Hmm. Well, see, the thing is, I don't know about everybody being our friend, but the FCC is turning out to not be our friend. See, the problem is, when you get that much control over anything like the FCC thinks they do, and you get, you know, a couple of people in there talking about it, then everything is game. And you can't do that. You got to leave things up to the audience. The audience is who decides what will be watched. I mean, the audience, if you put something on television that people don't like, that people don't want to see, they won't watch it. And if they don't watch it, then they're not going to buy anything that is being advertised on that. And that's the way the TV is supposed to work. If people are ignoring the programming, then it's going to go away.
Exactly.
And you just leave it alone. FCC is not supposed to decide what's going to go away. However, now I will have to admit that if you put porn on there, people will watch it. And so if you decide you don't want porn on TV, and of course there are some people who don't care, and some people who do want porn. But the thing is, there are certain things that it's acceptable, I believe, to control. But we're getting way over zealous with our implements of control with the FCC. It's way beyond what it's supposed to be.
And to kind of make your point here real quick, is like you remember the hoopla about Elvis's, swiveling his hips?
Yeah.
If that was the case, then when Ed Sullivan brought him on the program, nobody would have showed up.
Well, you didn't see that program, did you?
Which one?
The first program with Elvis on it.
No, because I didn't really like Elvis. But
they didn't show him below the hips.
Exactly.
They didn't show him below the waist.
Way that it was so offensive, and everybody else was going, huh? I didn't realize it was offensive until they started making a big deal that it was supposed to be offensive, and I didn't know I was supposed to be offended.
And then when you did get to see it, you weren't offended because they didn't show it to you.
And I didn't care.
Okay. But see, the thing is, hips, you can't do anything with your hips while being clothed that would be wrong. I just don't believe it can be done. So consequently, it was just ridiculous. They just, it was real simple. They just didn't show him below the hips,
yeah.
Below the waist.
Well, people are so offended. In fact, I'm going to do something. This is one of the advantages of internet radio, is we can get away with some of the things the network can't. I got two little short audio here that have been banned nowadays because they are not politically correct.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Let's see if everything works right. First one, these are commercials. These are stuff that used to be very popular. Here's the first one.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
And that was just a very simple, from the brand Hawaiian Punch. But the guy would go, hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? And the other guy would go, sure. And the guy would hit him.
Punch him in the nose.
Exactly. And this one, oh my God, this one's going to get letters because I'm sure they're going to consider this totally racist.
Ay, 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 I am the Frito Bandido, hey, I like Fritos Crunchies, I love them, I do, I want Fritos Crunchies, I'll get them from you.
I know, I'm so racist.
Okay, I didn't know any either one of those were at all controversial.
Oh, they are now, in fact, even the Taco Bell, Chihuahua dog is, for getting on there and going, Laquito Taco Bell, is because of using the Chihuahua, which is related to Mexican, which is whatever, which is considered racist.
Okay. See, I thought it was sort of funny that they used the Mexican language. That's good, not bad. That's introducing something that we haven't been introduced to as white Americans, or oops.
Why do you think you don't, on a McDonald's commercial, you don't see the Hamburglar anymore?
I never saw the Hamburglar, so.
Hamburglar, yes. Yeah, they don't show that guy anymore either because he's not politically correct.
Well, then, we've got to get the Federal Communications out of the business of controlling our programming because that's ridiculous that, you can have something as funny as a hamburger or any of those things, and you can't run them because they're not politically correct.
Yeah, somebody.
That means about 80% of our programming then is not politically correct.
Yeah, exactly. Or like you said earlier, is because the FCC requires commercials not to be kid oriented, so that kind of takes away a lot of it, too. The rule also limited kids-centered advertising during children's programming, which made cartoons less affordable. And a recap for somebody just joining us is that as of last weekend, cartoons are no longer being broadcast on major networks. So if you want to chime in on that, of course, he logged that already. But that's his loss.
I don't understand that because, you know, they first wanted to have the networks broadcast like 3 hours of children's educational or informational or combination programming per week. Now, that's not much, really,
no,
to do it 3 hours per week. But, of course, everybody did it on one Saturday morning program. They didn't do it 3 hours a week. They did it one day, Saturday, for 3 hours. And the thing is, basically what it accomplished was giving the kids something to do for 3 hours.
Exactly, the babysitter. But to quote Scooby-Doo in this announcement, so 646-721-9887.
I guess I haven't watched enough of those morning programs. I never watched Saturday morning programs, period. I have never, and as a matter of fact, the thing is, I don't like animation, any kind. I don't care if it's good kind or cartoon kind or what it is. I don't like animation. So I don't watch programs that are animated. Even they've got a lot of, I guess, full-length movies that are animated now, and I don't watch those either. So,
you need to get out more.
No, it's because I don't get out more. But if I did get out more, then I wouldn't watch any at all.
Well, speaking of animation, getting into the next segment of the old commercial about you bet you can't only eat just one. Well, that's now what they're saying as far as school lunches with ketchup. Segue right in there, you know.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, this is so ridiculous. First of all, we're listening to Michelle Obama. Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? We should not be listening to Michelle Obama. She should keep her trap shut, keep her mouth closed, and keep her spandex, whatever, body out of this thing.
What he's referring to is that there's a headline, Michelle Obama admits she wears spandex, and nobody cares. But the point is what we're talking about is Michelle Obama's lunch rules limit children to one ketchup packet because two ketchup packets go over the amount of calories that the federal government, thanks to the nutritionist Michelle Obama, has mandated. And, of course, she is totally qualified to make these type of decisions because not of her background in education and studies. It's because it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly. And well, never mind.
I would definitely say that she's in bed with the boss.
Yeah, possibly. Or maybe she's not, and maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that is. He does take off a lot without her. So.
But anyway, the whole thing is, that we went for a long time, we called these stupid little packets of ketchup a vegetable.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they're not good for you. I mean, they made them a vegetable and said they're great for you. It's fine. But now they're not good for you at all. It's ridiculous. And the big thing is, if they would make, let's how do we put this? Perhaps we should suggest that the ketchup people make the packets of ketchup with less sugar in them. Maybe that would help.
Now, I don't know if it's that or the calories, but the...
Well, sugar is calories.
Yeah. But part of the argument as well is the limited food options, thanks to Obama's mandates, is that kids are saying that the food just doesn't taste good. And so, like at Burley High School, you know, one-fourth of students who ate school lunches every day has stepped out of the cafeteria line. Those 100 teenagers are now bringing sack lunches, dashing off campus for fast food, or skipping their meals altogether.
And that, of course, is bad because, as we know, if you take a sack lunch, it might not be acceptable, and the school will step in and say you can't have that either.
Yes.
We went through that once before. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I believe that we should be taking our lunches to school anyway.
Yeah. The USDA Smart Snacks Guidelines took effect in July, and all foods that don't meet the requirements were removed from vending machines. Food truck vendors whose products didn't measure up were also banned from school property. The Smart Snacks rules let each state choose how many non-compliant food fundraisers to allow. Idaho took the most lenient route, except exempting 10 fundraisers per school year.
Okay, I'm confused.
In other words, even like if they were having a bake sale, you were limited on how many or what you could sell in the bake sale. In fact, here's a list of the nutrition standards for calories, sodium, and fats for the National School Lunch Program, separated, of course, by grades. Separate standards set for breakfast and snacks. The allowable sodium levels will continue to decline through 2023. From K through 5, 550 to 650 sodium.
Grams of.
Yeah, less than the 640 milligrams, fat less than 10% total calories. Grades 6 through 8, calories 600 to 700, sodium less or equal to 710 milligrams, fat less than 10% total calories. Grades 9 through 12, calories 750 to 850, sodium less or equal to 740 milligrams, fat less than 10% of the total calories. And this is according to the Department of Agriculture.
So all you can do is take a carrot to school.
Who knows if that'll even be banned?
Probably not. Probably too many somethings in the carrot. I don't know what. I don't know if it's too much sugar because carrots taste good.
And you can't get away with bringing your own sack lunch. We did a story last year sometime where
that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, where somebody brought their sack lunch that their mother prepared for them, and a teacher opened the sack lunch and decided, this is unacceptable, took the lunch away and replaced it with chicken nuggets.
Yeah. I mean, it's we're being controlled by someone, and I don't know who it is, but it's not somebody with any smarts.
No. And schools have now been complaining. A few of them are actually starting to opt out of the federal guidelines because they're saying that they're having too much waste, that students are just not buying the food anymore, and there's just so much left over that has cost them so much money, they're not making any money. So schools are either not offering lunches or they're working to not follow the federal mandates.
Well, if they can just opt out of the federal mandates, why the hell are we bothering with it? I mean, that's ridiculous. We're not required to school districts are an entity of their own. They're a part of the state government. They're not a part of the federal government. And we shouldn't have any possibility of worrying about the federal government. I mean, you know, the kids are, we spent years in the school cafeteria trying to decide what the kids will eat.
Yeah.
And once we found it out, now we're telling everybody they can't have that either. So it's ridiculous. We just, if you can't win for losing, just don't win.
Well, and the, here's a quote, I totally agree with her. Marty Marches, a kitchen manager of DeVorks Elementary in Burley, said that American children didn't become obese by eating school lunch. Their activity levels are to blame. And looking at a lot of the schools anymore, they've taken away a lot of the playground equipment because of fear of liability. You know, just recently there was an article where somebody got hurt falling off monkey bars. But then on the other side of the coin, I don't know if they're on school property yet, but then we put in skateboard parks where you ride up in this thing, go airborne, lie down on some cement and crack your head open. So I'm confused on that one.
Well, those are not on school property. And even the thing is, the only thing they're going to be able to do is go outside and run. But if you run and fall down, that's bad too. So consequently, this, you know, you can't protect you from yourself. You know, the government is trying to protect me from me.
Right.
And I'm tired of it. And I've been tired of it for a long time. And I think we need to do some, the way we've got to go about this is, let's face it, We've got an election coming up very soon.
Yeah, November.
And we need to find out who believes in what and who believes in what else, and we need to change some people.
Exactly.
And that's the only way we can really fight back is change some people. And if we could change some, if we could fight back and change some people in higher office, I mean really high office, then that would be good too. We should, maybe we should start a, well, there are a couple of them on the internet already, places you can sign up to impeach the president.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
I know it's not, but at least maybe we've got a, well, something to make our voice heard.
There are sites that have done that. There are overpasses for impeachment and other groups like that. And the thing is, because the president is untouchable, it takes an act of Congress, and Congress isn't going to do anything because they're pretty much lame anyways. And
they're out for 54 days on vacation.
Yeah, for vacation. We got stuff going all over the world, and they're out on vacation.
Well, that's bad to say too. You're saying that they're not ever supposed to have a vacation. I think they're supposed to have a vacation, but everything was, you know, they should do something while they're here. That would be nice.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is just my opinion. From the president on down to all the representatives in the three houses, is that they've gotten away from the primary reason why they are there in the first place. You know, like we were talking earlier, you know, does Obama ever see his wife? Does he ever see his kids? I mean, he worked so hard to get into the White House, now he doesn't spend any time there. You know, he's out doing fundraising, he's out playing a lot of golf. I had a laugh the other day when he got wasn't allowed to go play golf at one of his highfalutin places. They didn't want him there. But that isn't because of him, that's just because of the, you know, this is a place where millionaires go to play golf, and they didn't want to be distracted. But you know, the honor, you haven't heard this through this administration at all, from what, at least not what I've heard, is the, I can't remember what it's called, but the dignity of the office.
Oh, there is none.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, that's what I'm saying, though. We've got a very short period of time we've got to worry about this. You know, whether we like it or not, now, you and I like it or not, people voted him back in. People voted him in for a second term.
Yeah.
And so somebody must like this president.
Well,
so,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, if we really don't like him, if we really are upset about what he's doing and how he's doing it, you got to get out and voice your opinion. And we've got an election period coming up in just a matter of, a month and a half or so, not even that. Just a month,
yeah,
and we're going to have to step in and make our opinions known by not electing people who don't believe in what we're believing in. And the thing is, even if there's a person there, well, I guess we haven't got the option on our ballots to dump somebody.
No, and that's unfortunate because in some areas it should be. If you have two candidates running, you know, one for each party, you should have three options. And the third one should be none of the above. And if none of the above actually wins, then we need to, you know, come up with an alternative situation. But basically those two...
The problem is I'm afraid we'd have too many people in the none of the above.
Yeah, but...
Too many things in the none of the above.
It might say something, too, because it's just like, for example, like Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and all them... With their reputations and how they come across, you know, Nancy Pelosi, for example, is a good one because she basically mimics whatever the president wants and tries to actually start this thing called, and it never took off, called free riders. If you are one that don't want to go with Obamacare, which is our next story coming up, that didn't take off, the free rider thing. But, you know, those people keep getting put back in. Because of name recognition. I don't know. I'm not involved in politics at all. I don't really care, but I go vote. Oh, who am I going
to... That's one of the things that's happening on television right now. We've got a bunch of commercials on TV that say Jeff Merkley is terrible. And yet the only name I got out of that is Jeff Merkley. When I vote, I'm going to vote for Jeff Merkley.
Yeah.
Because that's the only name I recognize. although they're saying that he's terrible, that's why they're saying his name. Well, they blew it, because he's going to be the name that I recognize.
Well, exactly. And speaking of, it's just like we're talking about Senate race here in Oregon, and we've had, I guess, on the program a couple of times, Joe Ray Perkins, who was running for office, and on the Republican side also was Monica Welby. Is that right?
Yeah.
And when she entered the race, she's a pediatric surgeon or something like that. She had the money, besides being a surgeon, she had the money behind her. She has a boyfriend, apparently, whoever, that also kind of, basically the money was there. Where Joe Ray, it was just an average person who spent a lot of her own money traveling throughout Oregon, but she didn't have a chance really because she didn't have the funds behind her to get her message out. And so it was kind of like hands down. In fact, it was she's pulling, she had a hard time even getting into some of the debates that the other candidates were invited to. Even though she's a candidate.
You know, I hate to say this, but if you haven't got the money to do the job and you haven't got the money to get yourself into the office, then you should know somebody who can help you get into the office. And if you don't have either one of those, I personally believe you don't need to get into the office.
Yeah, but there's some very good people out there that would make excellent candidates. They just don't have the funds to do it.
I don't know.
It's hard to raise money, you know.
Well, I know it's hard to raise money, but it's not hard for some people. Some people raise way more money than they need. They raise more money than they can use, and still don't get it. It's just if you're not a money raiser, if you're not a fundraiser, then you don't need to be in that almost any office, because that's what is required. You know, this whole thing runs on cash, and if we can't raise the cash to get into the office, then I'm afraid it's tough luck.
And if you are a fundraiser and you got some extra time on your hands, send me an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, if you are a fundraiser and you have an idea of who you would like to have in office, get in touch with that person and start to raise funds for him or her,
yeah.
Because that's what's going to get them into the office. And it's not going to be they're going to do it themselves. Somebody else has got to do it for them. Either that, or we've got to change our system very radically and how we do this, because maybe that isn't the way to do it, maybe. I felt a long time that we should change our system.
Well, I can't argue that point.
646-721-9887.
Absolutely.
That's a telephone number to call if you want to agree with me or disagree with me. And if you don't want to agree with me, then the hell with you. 646-721-9887.
And coming up later on in the program, we got the two recipients of the What the Heck Are They Thinking Award. But first, what's first?
I don't know.
Obamacare is first.
That's too bad.
That is too bad. Yeah, I can't even believe I said that. Obamacare is first. Coming up, we've talked about Obamacare a lot on this program, and I've warned people that things are going to get nasty as time goes out, and in 2016, when it goes into full effect, is when you're going to really start seeing money taken out of your tax returns if you don't have insurance, because when the penalties will come in. But also coming up, as we're getting closer to 2015, the effects of Obamacare are starting to be felt, and one of them, and this was announced by TheAtlantic.com. On Monday, Walmart announced it would begin selling insurance. Okay, great. Go to Walmart, get insurance. Why not you get your taxes done there? However, Walmart's also creating a potential new set of customers, according to the article, because this retailer, along with others, are going to start cutting off health insurance, Walmart, for example, to at least 30,000 employees who work fewer than 30 hours a week. And places like Walmart has a majority of people who don't work over 30 hours a week. And the reason for that is because that, as the article goes, says, that's why I'm going to quote it, says that's the magic threshold set by the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. As of January 2015, any employer who has more than 50 workers or employees will have to provide insurance to all employees who work more than 30 hours. So the easy solution to that, you work 29 to 30 hours a week.
And yeah, we're putting together a society of part-timers.
Exactly. Walmart, also joined by Home Depot, Trader Joe's, Target, have also cut employees from their payrolls in order to meet this mandate or have reduced hours. And by law, you have to have insurance or you pay the penalty.
Well, see, that's the thing. The government is, again, overstepping their bounds, and they're making it impossible if you do, impossible if you don't. You're going to get fined if you do, fined if you don't. And so we've got to do something about this government that's controlling every step of our lives. And that's what we've got to do. And Obamacare is one place to start being that way. I mean, it's just ridiculous. If you can't, you know, if you don't want to have if you don't want to have insurance, that you shouldn't be required to.
Well, the point is also is that the way it was sold, this is lied from the very beginning. And, you know, if I went on television, in fact, there's a story. If I went on television and I promised something and I was lying, then it's false advertising. I'll give you a good example. There was a recent lawsuit against Red Bull, and you're going to love this one. This is actually a true story. If you bought, I don't remember the dates off the top of my head, so I don't have the article in front of me, but if you bought Red Bull within the duration of this program advertisement, you are entitled to $10 in cash, or check actually, or $15 worth of Red Bull. The reason being, and you'll never guess why they got sued.
Why?
Because one of the Red Bull's advertisements was, Red Bull, it gives you wings. Of course, we all know that drinking an energy drink is not going to give you wings. You know, it just makes you feel like you can, you know, feel really good. That was the metaphor. Somebody sued Red Bull because they drank Red Bull, and guess what? They did not grow wings, so they're suing the company, and now the company has to, you know, they won the case, and the company now has to shell out $10 to anybody that wants to claim the fact that unless you actually did grow wings, you get $10.
Well, that's ridiculous, of course.
But the point is that Obama, throughout the election, kept saying, you know, if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. Under Obamacare, you know, it's going to save you $2,500 or $2,800 a year. People are getting canceled all the time. In fact, in January coming up, there's going to be a lot of cancellation notices coming out because they don't meet the minimum federal requirements, and so they're getting cancellation notices from their insurance companies. The cost to have insurance has more than doubled under Obamacare.
Yeah, and that's what I say. If you, again, the government is putting us in a position, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right.
And if that's the problem, if that's what's happening, in my opinion, we need to change governments.
Exactly. Well, and like I said, both Clinton and Obama, okay, having nationwide health care, whether single payer or not, is not a bad idea, you know, to offer health care available to everybody. I mean, it's great. But it's like saying, you know, okay, I'm going to mandate that you have a house. If you don't, you're going to pay a penalty. Not everybody can afford a house. A lot of people don't have health care because they can't afford it. They'd love to have it, but they can't afford it. But we could always borrow from other nations and look at this is what works and this is what doesn't work and take advantage of that. And speaking of works and what doesn't work, we have a Skype caller, so I'm going to go ahead and open the phone line. And welcome to the program.
Hey. Okay. All right. You're talking about Obamacare, and you're giving a comparison between health insurance and buying a house. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the promises that Obama made and the contradictions he's made and the kind of criticism he made against Hillary during his run for presidency.
Right.
Okay. So My question is, how come people aren't even really waking up to what government's been doing to them all these years, and especially when Obamacare is such a glaring hemorrhoid in everybody's butt?
I think it's because they haven't got built. This year was the first time that they didn't have insurance. They're going to pay $97 in penalties. And, you know, for each year, up to 2016 is what they went to. $2,100. And so once I get in the pocketbook, then people are going to go.
Are you talking on a microphone using Skype?
Yes.
Okay, because you've just broken up.
I didn't hear a word she said.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot what I said. Well, what I'm saying is that this year is that people who they only got billed if they didn't have insurance $97, and it's not that deal. But 2016, when the bill comes due up to about $2,100, then they're going to go, what the heck happened to my refund?
Mm-hmm. And there were people who, even prior to this, mainly Democrats, who thought that all of this was going to be paid for by the taxpayers until they had to pay for it themselves. And, of course, the people who are rushing in to take advantage of this Ponzi scheme, they're doing it because they don't want to be fined. So if they don't want to be fined, they have to be aware of the kind of oppressive measures that the government's using against them. And, again, I like to know why people are not really waking up to this, even though, you know, they're being whipped, figuratively, by the government.
Well, I have a co-host from the day job that he's an honest... He pleases me a lot because I'm not an Obama supporter, and he's a very adamant supporter.
You've broken up again. Did you slide away from the mic, something like that?
No, there's a lot of background noise right now. But I don't know if that helps or not. But some people are just blind when they say Obamacare is good because it gives people insurance, and that's all the purpose that they're looking for. They're not really involved in politics. They didn't exactly even glance at the bill, much less know what's in it. Question, did you hear me? Because there's a lot.
No, I can't hear you either. I hear about every fourth word. So I think we better let this gentleman go, as much as I'd like to stay with him.
Okay, I'll give us a call back and we get in the line.
Okay, are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now you need to turn your mic down or get back off a little bit. Okay. Because you're too loud.
Yeah, sir, if you want to give us a call right back, maybe the line will be a lot cleaner. It's one of the disadvantages about using Skype is that it can be very finicky. But if you want to give us a call back and try again, I'd be more than happy to have you. But he makes a good point, though, is that people, a lot of times they go by the sound bites. You know, I've heard people that are just adamant about, well, everybody's going to have insurance. What's wrong with that? It's great. But they haven't even read the bill. All they did was listen to, sound bites or some local talk show host that doesn't know what he's talking about. They haven't actually read any part of the bill, and they know nothing about it. All they know is that they're just blind, you know. You Republicans, you just hate everything Obama does because you're a racist. No. I didn't read the whole thing. It's almost impossible to read the whole thing because it's not just one bill of 2,000 pages plus. It's everything it relates to, but I did spend some time going through it and did some research on the thing, and that's, you know, looking at the penalties and looking at what's all involved in it, and so that's why I can speak a little bit more about what's going on, because I didn't read the whole thing, but at least I read most of it.
Well, it's impossible to read the whole thing, and it's becoming... That's what's happening to our, I don't want to say our whole government, but when we write these things, it seems like these people who put them together and propose them go out of their way to make sure that you can't read what they're saying. That what they're saying is got so many words in there that aren't necessary that you can't understand it. And we've got to change things a little bit to you know, if I want to read something and I want to know something about something, I want to find the best way to read it. And condensing things and working with them to make them understandable is a real important thing. I mean, the human population today is we're not all, I don't know what to call them, but we need help.
Yeah, and speaking of, if I have the right one here, this is a short audio clip of the debate he was talking about.
You can have a situation, which we're seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that.
And that was the debate with Obama and Clinton back in 2008, as he was putting down Clinton's Hillary Clinton care provisions. And now we got this, everything that he's arguing against.
Well, we got too many people that need to be arguing against him, period.
Yes.
That's just the thing is, I mean, I keep saying we haven't got much time left, but what scares me with even a very little bit of time left that we have him in office, what scares the bejesus out of me is that people are going to go for the same kind of person.
Yes.
And we're going to be in the same boat that we're in now.
Oh, they gave up. I heard a Republican senator, I can't remember her name, was just saying that, no, we're not going to work to get rid of Obamacare. What we need to do is pass new laws to make it work. It's too late in the game now, 3 years into it, to actually get rid of it. No.
Well, that's not true. I mean, we can get rid of it, but somebody has to come up with something else. And nobody has come up with something else. I don't believe they have. At least if they have, they've been keeping awfully quiet about it. And so maybe she's right. We do have to change things to make it work.
Yeah, but sometimes if the thing doesn't work, okay, great. You tried it. It doesn't work. Freeze it. Stop it. Do whatever, because people are losing their jobs, their livelihoods. Businesses are going out of business because of it. People that are wanting to start a business, you know, which takes a lot of money to start a business, and you're living on, unless you got a huge funding, now you got to worry about, you know, the penalties of like over $2,000 per person, per household, in penalties if you don't have insurance, which costs in $400 or $500 a month easily. You know, if you try and start a business. I mean, I owned a business. It costs a lot of money to have a business. And now you're going to throw an extra fee on top of something where I'm already scraping by just trying to make ends meet?
Well, I think we're finding a way here to control who gets businesses, to control who has businesses, to make the money people more money. And it's just a real poor situation all the way around, and we don't have anybody trying to work out a solution. And we, you know, we're part of the problem here, you and I, at the moment, because all we do is complain about this. But somebody needs to come up with a solution. Now, I don't have the solution because I'm not that smart to be able to sit down and write all the legalese that's required to do this. But the thing is, we need to get rid of some of the legalese to begin with. We need to make the thing in standard language that people can understand, and then use it. We're just getting all carried away with the ridiculousness of how we want to talk about something and make it impossible to understand.
Exactly. I mean, I'd rather have seen vouchers or something else to come out, you know, giving people that they want the insurance, they get a discount on insurance, law done, instead of making a mandatory law. But as the caller said, is why aren't people more aware of what's going on? I mean, come on, guys. Well, again, they're blind to it. They're not involved in politics. And until they actually get the bill, they're, and, you know, either the job's going away, or, like I said, in 2016, if you don't have insurance, you can ignore it. But then when you get a bill, know, what happened to my tax refund? How come I always get money back every year for my taxes? How come I owe money this year?
Yeah. We've got to change the mandates that we have running in our government. Our government, well, we just got to change the people. That's just all there is to it. We've got to change the people that are in the government.
We need to clean house because Obamacare was, you know, if you didn't have insurance, you're going to be fined. All right. Well, then the Supreme Court changed it to a tax, and only Congress can enact a tax. So in a sense, it's illegal for the IRS to even collect the money. But then again, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go up against the IRS and challenge it.
Not really.
Myself. I don't have the resources to do that. I mean,
there is that problem, too. The thing is, we've got to change the people in our government at the moment, the president from the president on down. And we've got a good chance to do this in less than a month. We're going to be making quite a bit of changes in our government. And there's, you know, we've got to become involved. I mean, you as a citizen need to call the persons that are running and ask them questions about what they stand for, what they're necessarily for, because we've had a pretty bad run of who's running the controls of what's going on in our government.
In our traditions and everything else, which leads me, because we're running long in this segment, I want to get to the last part real quick in the 8 minutes remaining. Still time to give us a phone call if you'd like, 646-721-9887, or you can try Skype, and most of the time Skype works, but it's very finicky. So real quick here.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, I got two recipients for the award this week, and I'm going to run through them really fast due to the time restraints here. And the first one goes out to the EPA, is that we talk a lot in this program about how porous our borders are, and especially like with the Ebola and just security by itself. Well, you know, and they're supposed to have funding to put up a fence, and that got stopped, and we just can't do anything with the borders because of whatever. Well, the EPA has come out and decided that they're going to award $8.6 million in grants to fund environmental improvement projects, which will help water, waste, and environmental health concerns crossing the national boundaries and environmental solutions benefit communities on both sides of our shared borders, according to McCarthy, who is the EPA administrator in San Diego. Border environmental projects have already benefited 8 million border residents, providing 63,000 homes with first-time drinking water services and 569,000 homes for first-time wastewater services. Under the project, it would be beneficial to both sides of the border because it will help reduce wastewater pollution, recycle e-waste, and improve environmental health along the U.S.-Mexican border. So even though that they're not, you know, our borders are open, we're at least going to try and make it environmentally friendly.
I don't quite understand that. I mean, why are we? First of all, that amount of money is not enough to do anything. There's not enough money there. It sounds like that's the thing. A lot of things that our government does sounds like a lot to us. But when you get down to government-sized projects, it's not a lot of money. And this is not enough money to do anything or even get started with what we're talking about. If we're talking about households and how to fix them, it's not nearly enough. So we should just ignore it and go with something better.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd like to apply for a $1 million grant to just go survey the border. I mean, that's not a lot of money, but I'll take it. I think I could survive on that, and I'll just go take a trip through and back and charge them $1 million.
Well, except the thing is, you're going to find out if you want to go survey the border and you want to literally do that, it's going to cost you that much money. You're not going to make any money at that.
Well, I'm just going to hop on like an airline, go, okay, I'm going to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast and come back and say, okay, I saw the border.
Okay. I don't think you can see the border from that high in the air.
Then I have to ask for more money for research.
Well, that's the point. I mean, $1 million doesn't go very far when you're trying to do something legitimate. And it's just not going to pay for what they're talking about. And we're going to have to either give more money or do something different.
Exactly. And the second award I wanted to give out to, this goes out to the Seattle School Board, who decided to replace, dealing with our history again, Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. So the little thing about, this just doesn't work. In 1492, Indigenous people sailed the ocean blue.
Well, of course it doesn't work, because they didn't.
Yeah, I know.
They were here already.
But
they were here. In 1492, the Indigenous people were here to say hello to the people who sailed the ocean blue.
Yes, and that's okay. That's fine if you want to, you know, do that, celebrate Indigenous people or whatever.
The whole thing is actually a moot point, because this is just the Seattle School Board. Now, this is not Washington State. This is not the state of Washington. It's not Oregon. It's not any other part of the country. It's just the Seattle School Board. No one's going to know.
Yeah. And besides that, you know, I mean, if they want to do that, like we talked about off air, after January, there's a whole lot of days available for any type of, if you want to make it a holiday, make it a holiday. But, you know, Columbus Day is going to be Columbus Day. I'm sorry. It says that on my...
Well, yeah, and that's true. Let's not destroy one holiday for another one. And especially one that nobody recognizes.
Yeah. Or can spell.
That's possible too. It's just really kind of sad that they're trying to even mess with the whole system of holidays, because, you know, you can't, Seattle School Board cannot a holiday make. And so consequently, it's going to be a waste of time, and it's going to be a waste of money, and it's going to waste a money in Seattle, because, you know, if the Seattle School Board of Directors for the Seattle School District hasn't got enough smarts to realize that this is just a big waste of money, then perhaps they deserve it.
Well, and I'm sure that someplace, the Indigenous people, some Indigenous person is going to be offended by the term Indigenous people, and will probably file a suit against somebody who we don't know or care about. But this is a little bit of the bigger picture, where schools are trying to change the history curriculum by not teaching history, because some of it, we have a violent past. And so they don't want to teach that into our culture as part of the bubble wrap society mandates.
Yeah, we do have a violent past. I mean, we of all people have a violent past, because, and it is not even that far away, that long ago.
That's right.
We sat around here and did everything with guns, two guns, six shooters. We, you know, somebody did something that you didn't like, shoot them.
Exactly. We don't have white gloves, so to speak, a very tarnished past, but you learn from it.
Well, we have white gloves. They just have gunshot residue all over them.
Right. But the whole, you can't mask it. You have to learn from it. It's a teaching moment. I mean, there's a lot of things that we've done in the past we don't do now. We've decided it was wrong for good reasons, and that's what you do. But by just masking it and saying that it never existed is not exactly going to fix anything. You know, you have to address it, talk about it, and you just don't do it. Like what's said in Star Trek, we're just not going to kill today. We may be barbarians, but we're just not going to kill today.
I like the first remark. We're ball bearings.
We're ball bearings.
I'm sorry.
Anyway. See how you do. That's it for today's program. We'll be back in next Saturday. Caller, thank you for calling. Hope you give us a call back. And again, back next week.
Yeah. When you call back, we'll try it again and see if it works. You never can tell. Bye.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.